I want to start by reading some lyrics from a song that I like, reading and not singing, some lyrics from a song called Into Faith I Go, by a worship pastor named Pat Barrett. So listen to these couple of lines and see if they stir anything in your heart. I've never been good at change. If I'm honest, it's always scared me. But I can't deny the stirring deep inside me, and I know it's time to stop resisting. I can't deny the stirring deep inside me, and I know it's time to stop resisting. In our readings for the second Sunday in Lent, we encounter two people who felt this sort of stirring deep inside them and who stepped out in faith. We see Abram in Genesis chapter 12, and then we see Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Abram was called by God in a special way, and he responded in faithful obedience. Nicodemus had been hearing reports about Jesus, stories about Jesus, and he took a step of faith to seek out an encounter with Jesus, to be transformed by Jesus. So I want to focus this morning especially on the story of Abram. So I invite you to turn with me in your bulletin or grab a Bible and turn to Genesis 12. If you use your bulletin, it's on page 5. If you use the Bible, I don't know what page it's on, but it's near the beginning. Genesis chapter 12. So Genesis 12, we read in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So this text starts with a call from God. God himself takes the initiative and reaches out to Abram. And he calls Abram to take a step in faith, to leave his country, to leave his people, to leave his family, and to follow God to a new place. God calls Abram to leave behind what he knows, to leave behind the familiar and to step into the unfamiliar, to leave behind comforts, to leave behind security, to step out of what's known and step into what's unknown. So this is a step of faith that Abram is being called to. God's calling Abram to trust him and to surrender to him, to trust God completely, to rely on God and what he's doing in the world, and not to rely on himself, Abram, and what he might accomplish and do. So along with this call that we see in verse 1, God also gives Abram a great gift. And we see in verses 2 and 3, look with me, verse 2. God says to Abram, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So do you see the gift here that God gives to Abram? So in verse 1, God gives Abram a clear call. And then God also, along with that call, gives very clear promises. We see in these couple verses 5 first-person statements, promises that God gives Abram. I myself will do these things. He says, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and those who dishonor you, I will dishonor. I will curse. So along with the call comes really clear promises from God, which is a gift for Abram. So what does Abram do? Look at verse 4. I love the, this is just really simple. It just is what it is. Verse 4, look with me. So Abram went. There we go. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So what does Abram do? It's really clear. He responds in faithful obedience. His faith in God, what God is promising him, is expressed in obedience. Abram trusts God, and that's expressed in obedience. And take a look, I can't breeze past this. Take a look at the mention of his age in verse 4. Did you catch that? How old is Abram? 75 years old when he steps out in faith. So it's never too late. In fact, think about the promises that God gives Abram in verses 2 and 3. Those promises hinge on what? Hinge on Abram and his wife having kids, which they do not yet have kids at this moment. Abram's 75 years old, so he's probably not what any of us would call a young man. And probably not a young couple at this point, right? But Abram steps out in obedience, which expresses his trust, his faith, his surrender to God. Abram's probably thinking, I don't know how this is going to work. This feels impossible to me. Lord, we need a miracle if this is going to happen. But I'm going to step out because I trust you, that you, God, are powerful and mighty, and you can make things happen that I can't even imagine. And think about this too. Abram doesn't even see the full extent of God fulfilling these promises that he extends to Abram. But Abram steps out. He doesn't even see it all. He doesn't understand it all. But he steps out in faith, in trust and surrender to God and where God is calling him. So God calls Abram. Abram trusts God, and his faith in God is expressed in obedience. In obedience. Now, you're not Abram, and I'm not Abram, and God doesn't call us in the same way that he calls Abram in Genesis chapter 12. But there is a principle here that I think is true for all people throughout all time. We see this throughout the pages of Scripture, and that principle is this: that God is at work in the world, and he invites his people to participate in what he's doing. God is at work in the world, and he invites us to participate in what he's doing. God calls us. God calls you. God calls you like he calls Abram. Different ways, but God calls you too. So God calls all people in a general way. God calls us to himself. God calls us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the general call of God that's extended to every person. But God also has specific calls for you too throughout your life. Like Pat Barrett writes in his song, this sort of stirring that's deep inside of you that you need to stop resisting. God has specific calls for you throughout your life. And it's these sorts of calls that that we're talking about this morning. Now, unfortunately, we often miss these calls from God. Maybe we don't hear them. Maybe we sense a stirring deep inside of us, but we think that feels a little bit crazy. That feels impossible. I'm 75 years old. We don't even have kids yet. This isn't God. This doesn't make, how is this going to happen? So maybe we just kind of brush them aside. Maybe we hear God clearly, yet we just willfully choose not to obey. Unfortunately, throughout our lives, we miss the calls that God has for us oftentimes. So why? Why do we miss God's calls? I don't want us to miss the ways that God is calling us to participate in what he's doing in the world. I want you to hear God's call and be able to step out in faith and obedience. So why do we miss out on God? There are a lot of reasons, I'm sure, but this week as I've reflected on this question, three reasons have come to mind that I want to share with you. Three tendencies, three problems that all of us as humans have. And so along with each one of those, I'll share a practice, a discipline that you can cultivate in your life to combat that problem, that tendency that we all have. So three problems that we all have that cause us to miss God's call, God's voice in our lives. Number one, our lives are too noisy. Our lives are too noisy. So I'm reading throughout the season of Lent this book by Henry Nouwen called Show Me the Way, Daily Lenten Readings. I want to read you something that he says in one of these paragraphs. Henry Nouwen writes, "Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. It's there that Jesus speaks most intimately to you. Praying," he's talking about prayer in this daily reading, "praying is first and foremost listening to Jesus who dwells in the very depths of your heart. He doesn't shout. He doesn't thrust himself upon you. His voice is an unassuming voice, very nearly a whisper, the voice of a gentle love. Whatever you do with your life, go on listening to the voice of Jesus in your heart. Listen to what Nouwen says here. This listening must be an active and very attentive listening, for in our restless and noisy world, God's so loving voice is easily drowned out. In our restless and noisy world, God's so loving voice is easily drowned out. Our lives are too noisy. Our lives are literally noisy. There's just a lot of noise all around us all the time. And our lives are also sort of figuratively noisy. They're just full. Our calendars are filled to overflowing. There's always a notification or a screen that's vying for our attention. Our lives are just too noisy. So what's a practice we can cultivate to combat this problem? Fasting. Yeah, come on, who loves fasting? All right, fasting. Fasting, which is an especially Lenten discipline, so this is a good time for you to consider practicing some fasting. So fasting is giving up something for a set amount of time so that you can intentionally, in a less distracted way, focus on God. So maybe throughout this season of Lent, you choose one day of the week and you go without lunch. And during the time when you normally eat lunch, you spend that time in prayer with the Lord. Or in the evenings, go without your phone, one less screen, less notifications fighting for our attention. Maybe give up social media for this season. Fasting, intentionally setting things aside. Fasting, decreasing the noise in our lives so that we can increase our alertness to God and how he might be calling you. So our lives are too noisy. Number two, our posture is not one of surrender. Our posture is not one of surrender. So I want you to do something with me, okay? I want you to take your hands and put them out in front of you like this. I actually want you to do it. Take your hands, put them out in front of you like this. So this is our natural posture as sinful humans. This is a posture of grasping, clenched fists, grasping for control. A posture of surrender looks like this. Open up your palms. This is a posture of trust and surrender, opening yourself up to God and what he might do, giving up control and trusting God. This is a vulnerable posture. It's scary because who knows? Who knows what God might do? Who knows where God might lead? So we give up control and we surrender to God and his leadership in our life. So what's a practice that we can use to help us move from this to this? Silence and solitude, and I'll add in there stillness too. Some of you, myself included, I'm preaching myself, we're just antsy, moving. So silence, solitude, and stillness, they all start with S, so you can remember them. When you're alone with God in the silence, and when you still your restless soul and your restless body, what you'll find is you just have less to control. So instead of control, through silence, solitude, and stillness, you can experience surrender to God. You can be more open to God's voice and how he might be calling you. Number three, our focus is mostly on self instead of God. Again, as sinful human beings with this sin nature, our natural bent as humans is not to focus on God and loving him, to focus on our neighbors and loving and serving them. Our natural bent as humans is to focus inward on ourselves. Do you know what's exposed to this more than anything else in my life? Kids, my kids. My kids have been a sanctifying agent from the Lord because they expose how self-centered and selfish I really am. How this is my time. Don't distract me right now. Our natural bent is on self instead of on God and on the people that God calls us to. So how can we combat this tendency in our hearts? I talked about this last week. It's important throughout our lives, especially during this season of Lent, how can we combat this tendency? Confession. Confession. Acknowledging your sins, acknowledging your selfishness, and turning away from ourselves towards God in confession. Confess to God, confess to one another, confess to your spouse, confess to your kids, confess to a priest. Confession stirs humility in our hearts and reorients us away from self and towards God and towards our neighbor. Confession helps us to realize just how unfaithful we are, just how unfaithful we are. Maybe you hear God's call. Maybe you hear God's voice and you respond in obedience. But what happens over time? We stray. Confession helps us to see how unfaithful we are. We stray from where God is leading, what he's doing, how he's calling us to participate. We are not faithful, but here's some good news for you. God is faithful. God is faithful. We see it beautifully in our psalm that we read today, Psalm 33. Let me show you a couple places. Listen to Psalm 33, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. Steadfast love. A few verses later in verse 22, let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us. So these words, this Hebrew word here that's translated steadfast love is a Hebrew word that's bigger and grander and more beautiful than really any of our English words or phrases can capture. If you look at different translations of Psalm 33, you're going to see all sorts of different ways that we try to capture this beautiful Hebrew word behind steadfast love. And the word here is describing God's covenantal faithfulness. That no matter how we stray, no matter how we are unfaithful, God, because of his character, is always faithful. God is always steadfast. God is always committed to his people and will fulfill his promises. We can count on it. God is faithful, his steadfast love. We see this most clearly in Jesus. Just look at Jesus. While we were still sinners, while we were straying away, walking away from the Lord, while we were unfaithful, Christ died for us. Jesus pursues us, not just on our best day, but on our worst day. God is always faithful, even when we're unfaithful. So, this Lenten season and beyond, don't let too much noise, don't let too little surrender, and don't let too much selfishness mute God's voice and God's call in your life. So, if you know me, if you've been around Holy Cross for a little while, you may be picking up on something that this sermon just really feels like it's for me. So y'all should know that every sermon we preach, we're first preaching to ourselves. We're not just preaching at you, but first and foremost, in sermon prep, Lord, how are you speaking to my heart? What are you challenging me with? But this one is really hitting closer to home than most. This sermon is really for me. Because if you know me, if you've been around for a little while, you know that we announced a couple months ago that our family has heard a call from the Lord and that we're stepping out in faith. We've heard a call from the Lord to go to a new place, to plant, to start a new church in that place. And God's call was really clear. And so we're responding with faith. Hearing God's call has been such an encouraging, sweet, affirming process. We spent a year, most of last year, 2022, listening, discerning, praying with people about how God might be leading, what God's doing, and how he's inviting us to step in and participate in his work. It's been exciting. It's been affirming. But it's also quite scary and quite vulnerable. We're here at a place that's good and loving and just really practically stable. Holy Cross is, by the grace of God, an established, stable church. And what I mean by that is we're not wondering, like, hey, are we going to be around next week? Is this church still going to be afloat? And so we're here at this stable, good place, this good ministry position as an associate here at Holy Cross, stepping into something that feels the opposite of stable, that feels very risky. The church right now is Laura and me and Graham and Jude. $0 in the bank. So stepping out, this feels impossible. Lord, we need you to be at work here. But in one of those discernment calls, one of the mentors on the call said something really important and really profound to Laura and me that I want to share with you, and I want you to hear this for yourselves too. And so this is what he said to us on a Zoom call. As much as you can on Zoom, he sort of looked me in the eyes through the computer screen, and he said this to Laura and me. You need to know, deep in your heart, deep in your bones, that it's God who's calling you to this. You need to know that this just isn't some fancy idea that you or a bishop or the diocese has had. You need to know and be settled deep in your heart that it's God himself who's calling you to this. Because, and this is a church planter speaking, so he knows, he said, because there are going to be hard days. There are going to be days when it feels impossible. This just isn't going to work. And so you need to know on those moments, you need to be able to look back at this call and remember, no, it's God who has called me to this. And God is faithful, and God is powerful, God is worth surrendering to, trusting, because he's faithful. And so the same is true for y'all. Listen to God's voice. God is at work in the world, and he's participating you to jump in and be a part of what he's doing. So don't miss his calls. Don't let his voice, his calls, be muted in your heart. Listen. And then have the courage to step out. Not because of your own skill or strength or whatever it may be, but because of God and what he can do through you, what he's inviting all of us to jump into and see him do through us. So my prayer is that we hear God's call, we step out in great courage and boldness, and that what God says to Abram, remember one of his promises, that what he says to Abram would be true through us, because we, through Jesus, are the fulfillment of this promise. We are the family, we're the people of Abraham, through Jesus. So may this promise that God made to Abram be true through us as we step out in faith. May our neighbors, may our city, Loganville and Walton County and Gwinnett County, may the world be blessed through us. May the world experience the presence and peace of God himself through us as we step out in faith and participate in what God is doing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.